Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working at...
An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, hello, everybody. Chuck and Julie, Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden, and Truth Straight Up, brought to you by
AmericaCitizenPress.com. Great conservative website. They carry a lot of columns from Tom Tancredo as well.
Right.
Denver Cenogenics and Dr. Julie McCallan. So in a moment, we're going to have one of the new CD8 candidate, GOP candidate for Colorado Board of Education, crucial role going on in Colorado right now. Also at 3:30, Michael Tao. He's finally emerged, as he said, back in the saddle, and he's writing again. People who have listened to us are familiar with him. He's got an interesting story about kind of taking a look at the South Korea COVID testing, and essentially fake testing, his point is, has led to what he calls a fake pandemic. Mm-hmm. And then also the latest on Ukraine, which is kind of changing minute by minute. And thank goodness Trudeau
doesn't actually change by minute. It's the same thing.
That's a good point. It's been since 2014. Good news in Canada, sort of. Trudeau has decided, okay, I was just kidding about those emergency powers. I'm not going to push them after we're done with that.
Self-torture everybody and include my tyranny, but I don't need those other words.
I'll just do it on my own.
What a great guy. Right. What a great guy.
But first, you want to introduce our guest?
Sure. Peggy Prost used to be Peggy Littleton, and she's was down in El Paso County, and now has come up to Adams County, and she's put her hat into the ring for the Board of Education, which has been a lot of splashes lately, in particularly the recommendations from a committee appointed by the governor on a lot of ones that has to be approved by the board.
Social studies requirements, basically critical race theory curriculum
that
the Democrats are always pushing. And let me give a little bit of a thing, because I looked this up too. I mean, I'm aware of the Colorado Board of Education, but the way it works, there were 7 members, one from each congressional district. They serve 6-year terms. And since we now have a new congressional district, that opens it up for an election. So you may be like, I don't remember voting on that. Well, you probably haven't for a while. And right now, this is only for the people in CD8, right, Peggy?
Well, we have, because, and you're exactly right, Julie, it's very different. So the way that this works is, when we have an odd number of congressional districts, we only have one representative from each one of those congressional districts. Okay. However, when we have an even number of districts, we then add an at-large position. So we will be having, Dan Malloy is running for an at-large position because we will have a 9th member now to make us an odd board. As a matter of fact, Jared Polis, back when I was on the State Board of Education from 2004 to 2010, Jared Polis came in from the at-large member because we went from, 6 congressional districts to 7.
Okay. Well, let me, as we've said, if we have dog issues, we do this live from our Chuck and Julie World headquarters, also known as our basement. The Colorado Board of Education, I think, probably has not, the races have not gotten a lot of attention, but in this day and age, I think education roles in general, people are realizing just how crucial they are. So why don't we, let me toss you an open-ended.
Let her tell us a little bit about herself.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Tell us about yourself and why you decided to run.
Sure. Thank you so much. I just really think, because of this new 8th congressional district that has been formed, we've never had a State Board of Education member for that district before. And I think it's really critical that we establish from the get-go that this is going to be a Republican district, that we're going to hold it for Congress, we're going to hold it for State Board of Education. And having been on the State Board of Education already for 7 years, I represented the 5th congressional district down in the Colorado Springs area. And I also have had the wonderful opportunity of many different ways and capacities that I've served in education and in elected office. So after serving on the State Board of Education for 7 years, I was actually county commissioner for 8 years in Colorado Springs in El Paso County. And from there, I went to go work for a technology company But during that time, I had the wonderful opportunity in going way back in my past. I homeschooled my kids for over seven years. Ah. I had the opportunity to be one of the founding parents and educators over at Cheyenne Mountain Charter Academy back when they started down in Colorado Springs. I had the opportunity to go run a federal grant called Gear Up out of the governor's office when Owens was our governor. And so from that, and having been on several different school boards, in addition to that, the Colorado Classical Academy, TCA down in Colorado Springs, the largest charter school in the state of Colorado. I was vice chair.
Wow.
TICA, the Imagine Classical Academy. I was chair for that for many years and helped them get going. And so with my background in education, with my interest in being, you know, a literacy educator for Socrest West Educational Services for a few years, I really have a passion to go out and to serve the parents again and to make sure that our voices are heard from a very conservative perspective.
And you kind of answered one of my biggest questions, and that is regarding charter schools. We're seeing in Denver with a very progressive board trying to get rid of them. We're seeing what's going on in Douglas County, how vicious it's become. Our son goes to a charter school, which we are totally happy with. And to me, it's all about choice, right? As a parent, you should be able to choose what school you feel is best for your kids. So it sounds like, obviously, you're clearly in full support of the charter school option.
Very, very much so. And actually, you know, underneath my time during the State Board of Education is when we established the Charter School Institute, or CSI, so that if school districts turn down a charter school and say, we're not going to have you be in our district, they then can go and have the option to go to the State Board of Education to be approved by the State Board of Education.
Okay.
And so that's really critical as well.
What about, you know, let me get your thoughts, I guess, maybe not, I don't want to throw you into the fire there specifically in Douglas County, but I think that there was a time when school boards, you know, were probably kind of boring and, you know, not a lot happened. And that certainly is gone now. And it,
they're always important, but
because they're always important, but people,
the teachers took them over early on because that suits to the salaries and everything else. So right. they've long I've been dominated by teachers unions.
But as but I guess, let me ask you this. Do you see, we've seen how vicious the teachers union has become. I mean, I've talked to parents in Douglas County and they're like, you know, this is not going to end and we are not going to back down, right?
Yep.
And the media is not on their side. Do you see that happening at the State Board of Education too? And is that something that you're ready for?
You know, that's a great possibility, you know, in the Board of Education. That's why it's really critical, Julie, that we get myself and or a candidate from the 6th CD. We are looking for one right now. And Dan Malloy, who's our at-large member, so that we can have a majority on the State Board of Education. You know, I was there that critical day, August 3rd, 2010, when one of our State Board of Education members, Randy DeHoff, deflected and voted with the three Democrats. So there was a 4-vote to implement Common Core in the state of Colorado.
Ah!
And it made me so angry. If we would have had engaged parents back then, like we have now,
yes,
people who are saying, my kids are not going to be indoctrinated. I don't want my kids learning critical race theory. I don't want them learning sexually inappropriate material in our schools. Not under my watch. If we would have had that kind of energy back then, we might not have Common Core in the state of Colorado, because you know what? Our kids are anything but common.
No, well, and not only that, if I could find that person, I would go show him my kids' math stuff. We've got a fifth grader and say, okay, you explain multiplication graphs to him, you know, because I sure as heck can't. One of the things
they're not that hard, but
but what I mean though is it's a, well, let me just finish. It is one of those things that you think, oh, what's the difference? And then we also, during the pandemic, right, when you're sitting there trying to help your kid because the schools were closed down. And I know our son's teacher then in fourth grade said, look, just teach him how to multiply however you can, right? But I think it is that pandemic and looking at that and everything that made parents wake up and say, wait, what are you teaching them? You know, I mean, our son to this day, he's a great kid and a smart kid, but he can't write because they quit teaching handwriting. I remember talking to his kindergarten teacher and she's like, yeah, they don't teach handwriting anymore. I'm like, what?
Right.
You know? Yeah. And so, and those are just minor.
Well, but Common Core is that vote in particular really personifies what's wrong with the Republican Party. Because Jeb Bush, who was the governor of Florida, was a huge supporter of Common Core.
Yep. Follow the money.
Exactly. I was going to say, and the companies that profited off of it, right?
He called that board member, convinced him to do it.
That's exactly right.
So if Jeb Bush calls you, tell him you're busy.
Well, but now, you know, to show you that we're really Charlie Brown and the Democrats are Lucy. You know, the Democrats said, hey, let's have a commission who will come up with social studies guidelines and everything else. And who will appoint that wonderful commission? Well, I know it'll be the Democratic governor. And so who does he appoint? He appoints far left people. They come with a far left program. And now it goes up to the Board of Education. I'm not sure if they've approved it yet, but as Democrats, they will. And maybe if we can take over the Board of Education,
we can stop it
or revoke it. But who decided that was a good idea? Republicans, the state legislature. They backed it.
Some.
Overwhelmingly. No, overwhelmingly.
Patrick Neville did not.
No, Patrick Neville didn't that, but all the idiots in Weld County did. And then they come back and say, oh, we're shocked that this happened. And you kind of go, how dumb can you be? I mean, it's just like the LEAP program. Right. I don't know where you stood on that. That's another massive Democratic boondoggle that a few bucks would be thrown to Owens Way and some others. But basically, it would take 150 to a half billion off the books and leave it to whatever the Democrats wanted to do with it. And Republicans, from the chairman to Owens to Hank Brown to God, you just go down the list. Of Republicans who supported it,
not us.
Well, I know, but it just and it's so difficult now, and there's so many positions that Democrats are running as Republicans. I know in Alabama, they have a vetting process, and they threw various candidates out, saying you're really Democrats running for these somewhat obscure positions, and we're not going to let you run as Republicans in Colorado. We don't, and that's why Catherine Murdoch is the biggest funder of races in Colorado, and she's far left. But
I couldn't agree with you more, because you know, when we look at, you know, House Bill 1192 that you're referencing, you know, it's that commission with, you know, that's supposed to propose recommended revisions to our history and our civic standards in the state of Colorado. The proposed revision in the Colorado standards divides and separates our children into oppressed groups, right. And it also introduces an age inappropriate topic such as our LGBTQ or bisexual or gay or transgender starting in first grade, you know, and so it is inappropriate for them to go do this. As you say, because we have a Democrat-controlled State Board of Education right now, will they probably adopt some of the recommendations made by this panel? Probably. But the good news is, as I've checked into this with, you know, State Board of Education members, you know, Steve Durham and Dr. Deborah Scheffel and Joyce Rankin, who have all endorsed me, by the way, because they would really like to see us all work together, who've said that if we get a majority this next year, when we get a majority, we're going to be positive. Of true conservatives, we're going to go back and undo that. Yeah. We're going to go back and reverse that back to the high model content standards that reflect Colorado values, not the indoctrination of our children.
Well, and you know, and you're right.
See, I just want to go back to the fact that majority in the House, a large majority in the Senate, almost all of them decided this is a good idea. And I'm not sure why Republicans do things like that or why they see LEAP's a great idea. I mean, I have trouble just kind of going, what are you doing? You're just doing what they want you to do. And they do it time and time again. I think we need somebody like you on the Board of Education. Steve Durham is a good friend. He was one of the House crazies with our friend Tom Tancredo.
Right.
He'll be great up there. And we really need some people who've been through it before and know how
it works.
How it
works.
So you're
not going
and the Democrats are never nice.
And it sounds like though you're going in with your eyes open on two fronts. Number one, it sounds like in terms of just how it works anyway and how political it can get. And also from what I'm hearing you say, what's at stake here? That it's no more reaching out all the branches and saying, oh, we're going to be bipartisan here. It's like, we have to stand up for our kids. And it's
absolutely
like you can hold the line when the legislature does incredibly stupid, inappropriate things, then you guys can hold that line between their progressive policies and the classroom.
Absolutely, Julie. And that is true. We've got to have people that are A, experienced, such as myself. I could walk in and not have any fire hose stuck in my mouth. I could go be doing this job tomorrow, right? Because I know what we can do. And to have people that have a true conservative track record of having voted conservative and put policies in. If people want to go look at my track record right now, all they have to do is Google Peggy Littleton, because I just got married this summer.
Okay,
so if they Google Peggy Littleton, they'll get to go to my wiki page and find out the good, the bad, and the ugly about me. And I have a track record of having voting conservative. We've got to have people who are going to be able to stand up and be bold, bold people that will stand against the tide and make very constructive arguments on why we are doing what we are doing to implement those conservative values. Because the most important thing we can do is come alongside and let parents know that they have a voice. They are the ones who are in charge of their children's education. And pretty much, I'm sure the Bible says that the parents are to train up our children in the way they should go. And then when they're old, they'll not depart from it. That's our responsibility. And the schools are to come alongside and assist in that by going back to the basics of reading, writing, and arithmetic, of instilling in them, you know, the opportunity. When we have only 32% of the kids in the state of Colorado who graduate from third grade, if you want to put it that way, who matriculate from third to fourth grade, who could read at grade level, we are doing a grave injustice to them by not setting them up on a trajectory for success for any other content area.
Right. Well, and I think one thing too, and what's your thought on this? This whole issue has, I think, really sparked. I mean, Grant, I'd love to hear you say conservative values, but I think there are a lot of parents out there who maybe don't look at themselves as conservative or maybe don't look at themselves as liberal, but who just solely care about what's going on for their kids. And this is one race in particular where that's all that really you're going to be focusing on. We don't care what your view is on pipelines or anything like that, right? And so I think any parent out there who wants to be, like you just said, in charge, they're the one in charge of their kids and their kids' education. And they're the ones who can say, this is appropriate, this is inappropriate. I mean, they need to vote for people like you because I think there's a lot of people who maybe wouldn't have a few years ago. What do you think?
Mm-hmm. I think that's absolutely the truth, because really the only good thing about the pandemic and school shutting down is that parents had their eyes open and were absolutely horrified at what their kids were learning. They were shocked. And this has become a nonpartisan issue. I don't care if you're a Democrat, an independent, or a Republican, but we have got to come back. Parents want to have schools teach what they were intended to teach, how to read, how to write, how to do arithmetic, how to think instead of being told what to think.
Right.
And so I think this is a nonpartisan issue. And I really think that we can rally around this together and let parents know that, you know, I don't represent, when I'm on the State Board of Education, just the kids in the 8th Congressional District. We represent every single child in the state of Colorado.
Right. Right. Well, where can
Peggy met her husband at the Pueblo meeting down last fall. I think that's right.
I met him up skiing last March.
Oh, okay.
He's got you confused with those. Well, Peggy, where can people, so you're running in CD8 for the school board seat. Where can people find out more about you? If they want to donate, if they want to get involved.
Well, I assume you have an opponent and you'll have a caucus system unless somebody's going to petition on. Are you going through the caucus or petitioning?
I'm going through the caucus. You know, if you can't get Republicans to vote for you that are like solid Republicans, you know, it's just like when I ran for U.S. Senate, right? You know, go through the caucus to go through the process. I'm not going to buy my way on the ballot. And so I do have two Republican opponents at this point in time. One of them, nobody knows anything about, including myself. I mean, I've looked her name up on Tracer and that's all I know about her. And then I do have another opponent, a young man from Weld County, great kid, worked on my Senate campaign, have nothing negative to say about him. I just think that somebody who's 23 and hasn't had kids, and doesn't have the experience that I have, maybe this isn't their race this time. And so far at this point in time, we don't have a Democrat opponent.
The woman who is running for Congress, right, was a pediatrician, very progressive Democrat, initially was talking about it. And then I think ended up running for something else. So, but I think you're right. They'll come up with somebody. They always will.
It'll be an awful person.
Yeah.
So that they, I mean, they will, but you know, quite honestly, I really feel like a lot of Democrats and independents are going to fall in our camp this year. How can you say that these are not the values that we want all inculcated within our kids? Read, write, spell, do math well, learn how to think, not be told what to think. Parents agree on that, despite the party that they're in.
Exactly. So where again, do you have a website set up that people can go to?
So I yet? Don't. Yeah, I don't yet, but people can Google Peggy Littleton /Probst and they'll find my wiki page. I also, and I think you guys already have this, but I can show it up here and then a way that people can contribute. So they can go to, let's see if it, is it going to do this?
I'm not sure.
Is this a QR code?
I don't know. It's going to go to the QR code. There we go.
Okay. All right. Well, you know what? And we can just keep us posted too, Peggy, if you want, just keep in touch with us. Right. And when you get a website set up and if you want to do that, then let us know and we can let people know about too. Yeah.
Well, and people certainly can email me at peggyprobst007@gmail.com. It's Peggy, PEGGYPROPST 007@gmail.com. If they'd like to send a check, they can send the contributions. My campaign finance folks are up in Fort Lupton. It's P.O. Box 432, Fort Lupton, Colorado, 80621. So they can send that that way too.
Do you have a fondness for James Bond or why the 007?
I know. It just happened a long time ago, a couple of decades ago. People are like, you're just kind of always out there and just shooting the enemy down, aren't you? You're kind of like 007.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Hey, we got to think. What year and what name when you ran? Did you run for Congress or was it Senate? What did you run for?
I ran for U.S. Senate in 2016 against Michael Bennett.
Okay, under Peggy Littleton.
Under Peggy Littleton, yeah.
Okay. One of our listeners was asking that. Okay. Well, listen, thank you for
your
time.
For coming
you
on.
Sound
we
great.
It.
We need people like you on the school board. So I appreciate you taking the time to do that.
Board of Education.
Thanks,
Board of Education.
Chuck and Julie. Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. I appreciate it.
Okay, sure. Bye-bye. All right. That's Peggy Probst, everybody. It sounds like she's very available and I'm sure she'll get something up and running there too. And that is, I think you probably have to be in CD8 to vote for her though, right? Yes. Okay. Well, good for her. It sounds like she's, again, I think people are paying attention to these school and education races and the state board of education seems crucial. I mean, if we could get a conservative majority there.
Well, it's incredibly important. It's incredibly important considering just that social studies thing.
With the legislature, they ram things through. So real quick, switching gears here a little bit, want to bring you guys up to speed because things are changing, like you say, changing, not changing in Ukraine. Remember,
the Russians are going to invade
at any minute now. It's not, isn't it?
Not this Wednesday, maybe not last Wednesday,
but
next Wednesday.
They're going to do an incursion.
And that's an invasion.
Here's a bottom line is. Biden is an idiot in the way he's handled this. He's got only 26. I think they thought this was going to save them from all the other bad news. But now what's coming out is number one, there's some poll, only 26% of the people polled think that United States, and this included even Democrats, really should play any kind of major role in the Russia-Ukraine conflict. So Americans don't care about it. Number two.
Well, we just got our wonderful helpfulness over in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
Which is an astounding success.
That was so great. Let's try that again.
Right.
I was laughing. That's why they don't want to send any lethal aid over there, because when we abandon the country and the Russians take it over, then they'd have all of our equipment again.
Well, but you have to understand that's the military contractors love that.
Biden, remember one of the first things he did in office was get rid of the sanctions on that pipeline. Nord Stream 2. Well, now he's put them back in place. Even some of the liberal media were kind of pressing him on that, saying, well, why did you do that then? Why are you doing it now? Why didn't you do it sooner? I think though the bottom line problem that Biden has is threefold. One, no one cares. Secondly, there really isn't very much he can do short of going in there and opening war with tanks and bombs and things like that. And three, all of the sanctions and the things that he's doing, I think are going to end up hurting us way more than it hurts Russia. Russia knows. I mean, I was reading Russia's been really, these sanctions have been in place since 2014 when they invaded Crimea, right? When Biden sent them blankets.
Well, then we did all the other sanctions, for their interfering with our election in 2016.
Right.
That was another whole set of sanctions. And you kind of go, how many sanctions are left?
Right.
And who do they really affect? I mean, it's just.
Well, and again, they're trying to aim on the people in his inner circle. Like, they didn't think this was possible. I mean, I was reading a thing. What Russia's done since 2014 is it has in some of its friendly surrounding countries, it's sort of set up. So they say, okay, well, you can't do American businesses, can't do business, banking institutions, et cetera, et cetera. So they essentially have the equivalent of offshore accounts, right? And they just kind of run everything through there. Right. So he doesn't care. In the meantime, because oil is now over $100 a barrel. Remember when Trump was president? Well, it's pushing it again. Remember when Trump was president and it was like at $0 a barrel, right?
For a while,
which had its own set. Okay, so Russia's been stockpiling all of this money. They're making an enormous amount of money. Meanwhile, Biden, the same day he's like going to impose the sanctions, or maybe a day later, also basically stops oil and gas drilling and leasing and things in this country, and then says, well, it's Putin's fault. The gas prices are going up. Gas was over $6 a gallon in California.
No, well, that should be 10 there.
Well, then they'll all come here again. Oh, but I mean, I don't think, and I guess this is my question to maybe guys in the comments, or if you want to call in, 888-627-6008. I think the Biden administration, which is completely inept, did this and hyped this all up, because it's no different than back in 2014 and Obama.
Because it has nothing else to do. You know, right. Everything else is embarrassing. You know, inflation, you know, oh, we're much better off with inflation. I mean, they just, and Kamala Harris was a tremendous asset
when
over
you
there.
Start a major speech. Hey, listen, guys.
Listen, guys. This could be like a war. I know European guys get over in Europe.
I mean,
Europe,
it's been like 70 years, so you may not remember.
You might have forgotten 1990 and the whole Yugoslavia breaking up, which cost a couple hundred thousand people. But that's you know, let's not get picky.
But my question is though, so they did it, I think, to try to distract and boost Biden's popularity. But I don't think it's working. And do you think it's going to work? And
I don't know.
And I'm going to say, I think it's not going to work because Americans don't care about Ukraine. I think it's also going to boomerang because people aren't going to say, well, I mean, I think they're going to try to pretend like that all of the inflation and all that oil and gas and the energy prices, which are a direct result of his green policy decisions, are actually because of Russia. And people aren't going to buy that, I don't think. And I think people are going to dislike him even more.
They lie to us every day. So who knows what they can fool or not fool us, but Biden doesn't seem to be particularly good at fooling us. And, you know, Obama was much better at it. But who knows? I mean, who knows how it's all going to occur?
Let me look. Oh, okay. Hey, guys,
Hey, guys. You don't know, war in Europe would be like,
Peggy has posted for everybody her phone number, her email, and then the site where if you want to donate to her, you can go. This from Jacob, real quick, before we go to Michael, who I see there. If Russia invades Ukraine and goes through all of Ukraine's financial information on the oil companies, wouldn't they find out what Hunter Biden was really up to? And then Joe Biden will be compromised. One can only hope, Jacob. One can only hope.
If Joe Biden hasn't been compromised already, it'd be a miracle.
You'd think that maybe too. Putin could just ask the mayor of Moscow's wife why she sent him all that money too.
Right, right. Well, just gave the Clintons, the same
exactly.
thing. Exactly. And of course, they're beggars compared to what China throws us, but all our elites, amazing stuff. But I see Michael Tao on our favorite
investigative columnist. Clearerpicture.net. Is where you can get all this stuff. Yep. He's got, hey, Michael.
It takes me like 4, 5, 6 months to get things done, but.
Well, hey, when you do it, that's what I was telling folks at the beginning of the show. You're back in the saddle again, writing. You've got a piece coming out on Revolver.
I've been writing. I just haven't been finishing.
Looks like you got the heat back on.
It got warm again.
Now here it's like below zero. It's like, you know, I was trying to put, but we won't go into that. So is your piece up yet on revolver.news, or is it still in like the queue?
No, it's like, it's whenever, you know, they're often a couple days late, but I always think like, have I gone too far this time? So I don't know now. It's not up yet. It's loaded in the queue.
So you can get this. This is okay. We got a caller in, so I want the caller just to hang on here for a second. But I want you. Well, actually, maybe do you mind? Let me take the call real quick, and then I'll get you to explain because yours is tricky. Okay,
go ahead, Johnny
from Denver. Hey, welcome to the show.
Yeah, I have a feeling that this is
a
long term. Yeah, I'm here. Are you here?
Yep, you're here. Chuck and Julie. Hello.
Yes, can you hear me?
We can.
Hello?
Hello.
Oh, yeah. Can you hear me?
We can. Go ahead. What's on your mind?
Oh, okay. I just think this is a long-term plan that the Democrats have is to make you hurt so bad, as far as like the gas prices, to make you believe that, well, maybe windmills and all this other stuff will work, but nobody has a plan of, like, when the batteries run out, where do you bury these batteries? Because they don't dispose of themselves by themselves for a very long time. So I just think it's just one of the not well-planned way of getting us.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, nope. Yes, trying to get us. Yeah, just trying to get us out of cars, into these little boxes, apartments, and riding light rail, so we can follow their plan. And it's always not because we want to, but it's by force, little bit by little bit. So.
I think you're right.
I think you're right. Thanks, Johnny.
Hey, thank you. We're going to go to Michael now. Hey, Michael, real quick. Sandra's saying she's looking forward to what you have to say. And Charlene is like, one thing she's sure of, whatever we get through the media is not the real story. But what you get through Michael Tile is the real story. So you've got, you opened up the piece, which you can get it here. You can get it at clearpicture.net. Talking about the South Korean testing success story. Why don't you explain that to us?
So this is like a foundational myth of like the COVID. If COVID was like a cult instead of the hard scientific thing we all know it to be, this would be like a central part of the doctrine of the cult, if that's, that's what it were. So there were stories all over the place. So South Korea, they had, and if you buy the data behind that makes you believe in COVID-19, then you can't. This is the conclusion you have to draw. South Korea had very low death and case numbers in the beginning, like nothing to speak of, actually. Like it could have just been nothing. And everyone's like, well, why is that? And they said, well, it's because they did mass testing, right? And back then I looked into it. And what I found was way back when it was happening in 2020. What I found was South Korea was doing very little testing. Then I was stupid, right? I didn't think, so maybe their whole story is a lie that South Korea is doing. I thought, oh, they must be doing more. Like, I thought, oh, they're telling the truth about something. Like, that's what I made that dumb assumption you can ever make. I said, South Korea, they must just be the best of a lot of low testing things. And I went on. And then, year or two goes by, and I'm thinking about this. And suddenly I got back to those South Korean low numbers. And now after studying this for years, I immediately go, okay, let's look at the testing criteria because that's where it's going to be. That's right. Like the first thing I do. So it took me a while, but I get the South Korea Ministry of Public Health and Welfare webpage, and they give you an English language version even, so you don't even have to rely on Google. And they got these harsh requirements, like good luck getting since eight, and they're dated April 3rd. These articles are coming out in April, and there's always a point. It's not just that, has nothing to do with reality. It's America needs to ramp up testing to South Korea.
Just like South Korea, right. Right.
Except South Korea wasn't testing.
In an interesting way, by patching together the story from quotes from, dozens different outlets. So the lesson we're supposed to take is we got to do more testing like South Korea, it's supposed to be what they said. So this time I'm like, okay, I found it. It's in the testing criteria. And then I'm like, why don't I, again, it's like stupid. Okay, why don't I actually see what the testing rates were? And then it's like, oh my God, those mother blankers. So South Korea is starting April, right? Is doing half the per capita testing April 1st in the US. All these articles are coming out April through May. They still tell this story, right? South Korea went down a little. U.S. Shot up almost nine times by May 1st. But then you look at throwing Canada, Germany, the big Western nations, America, South Korea, and you graph it. South Korea is at the bottom starting March 26th, I think it was, 2020. And then they stay at the bottom the whole year. Everybody else gives up and they're just
Oh.
So it's like a pain. So South Korea, so one thing, their CDC says people without symptoms and anxiety, you need to chill. Like they say, there's no need to get a COVID test. Like, please don't bother you. They're like, just please listen to your doctor. There's no need to get a COVID test, right? Whereas like in America, people think like, you know, it's perfectly fine. It's like basically treated like a basic human right to get a COVID test.
Well, I remember doing the thing. So basically what you're saying is in South Korea, as I understood your article, number one, you had to actually have symptoms. And on top of that, you had to have been in, had contact with somebody who had a confirmed case, as opposed
within to 14 days. Yeah. So in America, you look at the CDC's instructions and in a way it doesn't matter because we all know people think I got a throat tickle. It could be, I need to get a COVID test. It's like, I'm anxious. I'm worried. It's fine. Get a COVID test. So you don't even need, but yeah. So the CDC says like, if you have any symptoms, get tested. South Korea's symptoms aren't getting you tested, unless you've had contact with the confirmed case or like a whole South Korean outbreak in the last 14 days. Or you've just returned from overseas.
Well, as I understand your article,
like the next country, but from overseas, right?
Right.
Your article, we all got conned into wanting to massive testing based on the South Korean model, which was just a lie because they didn't do much testing.
Well, yeah, we lied.
The South Korean thing was one huge pillar in the mythology
of the lies.
It was this all. That was the thing. So they didn't push us. You know, it took me a while to see that the fine details. We weren't pushed directly into lockdown. The lockdown stuff was seeded, certainly, like with Spanish flu stuff coming up. But what they did was the immediate push. If you go back and read what we were told, Tedros declares the pandemic. Testing, testing, testing. Literally, that's
right.
A quote. Like, Fauci and Redfield testify to Congress the day before he declares it's a pandemic. Testing, testing. We need to test, 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 test. That was like the thing they did. And what testing is, it means like immediately when you're like saying you want to be testing everybody, you're constructing a fake numbers, not trying to find out
real.
And the thing is, and maybe this is, I don't know, I'll have to see, maybe this is too much to say in an article, or maybe they're just like behind, whatever. But like, you got to think, it's like, so somebody says to you, oh, yeah, these guys, there's a new infection. We're calling it COVID-19. These South Koreans, look at their numbers, right? And look at our numbers. And then you dig into it like for like, I don't know, a day. It's not really that long, a couple days, right? You look into it. You find out that the whole thing all is about is like testing. Doesn't say anything about reality at all. Why are you going to, excuse me, why are you going to then believe in this COVID-19 thing? Like, that's what I know because you're used to it. And
well, I think what they did when they started pushing the testing, remember back at the beginning, people who had no symptoms at all were waiting in line for, you know, for hours to get testing. You can still get tests all over the place, right? And it is a kind
I should get testing from that coughing I just did.
Well, exactly. Yeah, we should get it because
people out there are going, yeah, they're turning off the broadcast because they think I just coughed COVID through the internet.
Right. But what it does is it spreads a fear. It's kind of like, you know, sometimes like when you listen to those like commercials at late night selling pharmaceuticals and they talk about the symptoms, you're like, well, I have that. Mm-hmm. Right. And you're like, so it's kind of like fatigue. What is that fatigue? I think
if I didn't have one of these symptoms in a day, I wouldn't know if I was alive. I mean,
well, and I think that what it did on top of everything, like you said, sort of the fake testing led to what you're calling the fake pandemic. Well, I agree, it's a fake pandemic. But I think what it did is it sort of served to create this fear. It's like, well, everybody I know is being tested.
Look at all these cases. There are more and more cases. It's rising and rising and rising.
And nothing people need to like realize, it only hit me the other day, but it's like crucial. So people know. They conflated death dying with and dying from, so the death numbers are worthless. Why they still listen to anything about COVID-19, I don't know, but they do. But you got to think about it. Okay, death is just one symptom that we happen to be particularly concerned of.
Right.
All the symptoms are working the same way. Somebody tests positive, they show a symptom, they say, okay, the symptom's caused by COVID-19. That's just what you got to see is your criticism of the death thing you've been making that's like devastating for you. The same thing. Now you got to do that to every symptom of the damn thing.
Right.
The same exact reasoning's going on. So what do you got? You got no reason to believe, even if the virus, there's a virus, whatever, that it causes any. I mean, it's like we're so far from anything that could be real, and we're so obviously being manipulated. Why would you still keep believing? Why would you keep listening to these people?
Right, right.
And if you, that's my point at the end of the article. If you listen, you lose. Like, why are we talking about COVID-19? It's like the level of deceit is so high, and people are going like, yeah, well, you know, they lied about every fundamental thing, clearly with an aim in mind. They've shown no concern for our well-being, but the fundamental story, sure, that's the
green. Oh, yeah. Like, yeah, the DNC was hacked. It's like, no, it wasn't. The fundamental, yeah. Well, you know, here's like,
think about it. You're planning this thing, and you said you're all rich guy, China guy, you're all there in a room, you're planning it, and you got it all planned out. You got like, okay, we'll seed the ground in February and January with these preposterous videos out of China. People will forget about them later. We'll put that. That'll get like the whole thing in their minds, right? People dropping dead on the streets, children wrapped in plastic. Then we'll start ramping up the media about how, oh, the virus is spreading. Then Tedros will declare a pandemic when there's hardly any cases, like, at all, like, if you look at the data. Then we'll get, you plan on, and one guy raises his hand. One junior guy in the corner raises his hand and says, wait a minute, we forgot to actually create the virus. Oh. And then they beat him. They throw him out of the room. Like, it's like, what's the virus? Like where? It's a wheel that spins nothing. It's like, it's you not being able to let go of the programming of bombarding you with the word pandemic, bombarding you with the word COVID-19. Like,
right.
You can't let these words, like, so when people, they're not talking to you. If people aren't talking to you, don't listen to them. Right? Like,
but no, here's what I think.
Manipulate you. Hear what they're saying if you have to deal with it and understand the manipulation, but don't listen. Like, it's like you wind up like you're arguing with the guy trying to sell you oceanfront property in Kansas, and you're arguing with him that all the salt water has degraded the foundation of the ocean.
Yeah.
The price is too, and you prove by his own principles that the price is too high.
Yeah.
Like, and he goes like, you know, and then you argue about it, and it's kind of like, you're like nuts, really. Like,
what do you think about this, though? Because what I think is slowly coming out, and I'm wondering what is going to happen with all of this, is the information about the dangers of the vaccine. We've seen stuff coming from insurance companies.
It's already so bad that it's kind of like, what? So you got to think of it. Swine flu, there were like 50, 60 vaccine injuries, right? They cancel it, right? And they didn't do it this time. And people don't understand the lesson of that. They say, aha, that means they should have canceled it this time early on. No, it means they learned their lesson. It means they saw that they need to bury the data next time. Because
right.
If they don't bury the data, people are going to be like, dropping dead. So I don't know. At this point, you have to kind of like, you can smell the dead bodies. Like, you got to kind of be like, just not looking. It's so obvious that.
Right. Right.
And well, why would you think this is safe? Like, injecting stuff that puts foreign RNA that has never been proven to be in any virus, right? That, and they have a version of it that no animal, and that it's not a natural occurring sequence. It goes in your cells. It makes them grow spikes. Nobody has any idea how far in it goes, but the rat and mouse study, brain, every organ.
We're everywhere, right?
And it forces your cells to grow a spike, your heart, your brain, you don't know, right? And it's kind of like, you're going to do that, really? Because like,
here's the thing, too.
I just think you're like, get away from me. Like, I'm afraid. I don't
know. And I kind of wonder what's going to happen. So, for instance, Denver has announced, after firing people and forcing people to get the vaccine, and we've had Randy Corporate talking about horrific results and you know, symptoms that people have developed since then when he's representing in a lawsuit. Denver now says, okay, they're getting rid of the vaccine mandate. Chicago's put in the vaccine mandate. Do you think, I mean, I think lawyers should be lining up to, I mean, if I can get like bopped by a cop at the George Floyd protest and get hundreds of thousands of dollars for that, you would think that, I'm hoping that there are lawyers lining up to represent the people who were forced to get.
You don't know, is the system gonna, it's,
I know.
Who are we counting on? Kavanaugh? Barrett? Are those the people? No, it's kind of like, to me, it's kind of like, it's beyond all that. It's like, it's just like so heinous and big and like awful that there's just like, it's hard just for me to see like any kind of way this resolves itself. Like some people.
Well, and it's become so hard to know what is true and what's not true. I think the one thing that happened is
it's all lies. Like everything, right. It's pretty actually easy. Like everything they say is a lie. It is. Like there's no, it's.
Yeah, because it's the government telling you it's a. Well, and you notice Fauci isn't on so much anymore. But and I think people get.
Yeah, I think people are sick of it. I think the government, right. The powers that be, are realizing, and it isn't that they rashly see the light. It's like they've seen, like they've been watching Star Trek for four seasons now, and it's just been going on too long, right? So those people are at that stage with the show. There are some like diehards, but they're gonna wear their Star Trek gear, their masks, right? There's plenty of reruns now. They have enough reruns for the like hardcore fans of the show. Everybody else, I think they think she is tired of the show, but like you gotta think, like, so they for the first time ever, they said we're gonna rearrange things before the disease shows up. They like do crazy shit. They lock down old people with no company, only people in masks and gloves seeing them. They shut down like everyone's business, people can't make a living. They did just like insane stuff before there was any symptoms. So then you got to like say to yourself, well, how do I know they did such a big thing? And they never, they never talked about cost.
No.
Do you think there's going to be like a return Fauci rerun thing where people kind of go, we'll have like 6 months or a year. And then everybody will just remember back in their youth when Fauci was coming all the time, and he'll be doing tours.
I hope he goes to prison.
I don't know why, but it's like from their perspective, they won because we're not going back and saying from the beginning this was like evil you brought down on our heads, and like maybe we're not going to get revenge, maybe we're not going to get anything, but we want you to know, we know what you did to us, right? Like, no one's doing that, so they won. They can, next time they can do, if there is a next time, if they're not planning, they're just next time they can do again as far as they can take it, and it'll be a little further.
It launched the whole censorship thing, right? I mean, now insurrection is the danger, but it launched the whole, we were kicked off of YouTube because we were putting out dangerous misinformation. All the, the Queen Elizabeth, is now taking ivermectin congressional.
Yeah. This is the thing too. It's like, you read the people who don't believe any of it, who don't believe there's a virus, and you watch their videos, and they calmly give facts. They just give facts, and then here's what they claim, here's why it's false, here's what they say in these three papers, here's why it's not true. So that's the people who believe there's no virus, it's all BS. You read the people who believe in all this stuff, and it's like, how do they argue? Like, you're bad, you're dangerous, you're like, you can't say that. So which side, do you need to even ask which side is telling the truth?
Good point. Well, and here's from Jacob. He's saying the return of Fauci will be in front of Congress and a grand jury. You know, I wish.
So everybody's focused on the Wuhan lab. It's like, who cares? It's like, he got us to lock our old people up.
And kill our kids.
For no reason. And he destroyed people's lives. And you're worried about some BS science fiction. Like, that's a problem. People can't pay attention to it unless it's some preposterous story out of a movie. There was no gain. Gain of function has never accomplished anything with viruses. It's all BS, right? So, but it sounds like the kind of thing you'd see on a movie. So people are in there. The truth is, They just like flat out lied. That would make a boring movie, right?
Yeah, they're lying. There has to be some sort of plot and strategy. Well, you know, and I think my fear, and I'm probably right here, is that everybody, like you said, you know, rather than just debate Star Trek and the pros and cons, they're just going to quit watching and they just want to move on.
Yeah, that's what it is. And they, again, you have, if you want to keep wearing your Star Trek gear for the hardcore fans, you really have to model on it, because that's what it was. It was a thing presented by the media. That's what COVID-19 is, first and foremost. Whatever else it may be, if there's a virus, if it killed a lot of people, it's not. The first thing it is, and this is how you have to approach it, or you're doomed, people, and it's not going to be easy. You have to kind of work hard to do this. Resist the idea of thinking about it as the way they're presenting it to you, because that's not what it is. You don't know. First and foremost, it's a thing put on by the media. Right. Maybe it represents reality, maybe it doesn't. But that's what it was, first and foremost, a show put on the media. And when you look at it through that lens, oh, yeah, it makes more sense. Like, it's like what's happening. But, yeah, you got to, like, this is the problem. When you give people who are your enemies the power to bombard you with vocabulary, like, you just pick up the vocabulary. And then, so getting a COVID test is like a person who answers, when did you stop beating your wife question. That's what it is to get a COVID test. You're like, you've answered, when did you stop beating your wife? Yes, COVID, no COVID. It doesn't.
It's not when have you stopped beating your wife, because then you can answer that. It is, have you stopped beating your wife? Because that one's impossible to answer. We do have some people, though, that want to know some fashion tips. They want to know where you picked up that wonderful wife beater t-shirt you got.
That's all I wear.
Hopefully, you have pants on, right? You have pants on.
Oh, yeah. I mean, all on top. Yeah. Like, I don't see many people. It's like.
Well, listen, I am glad we've run out of time, as always. I'm glad our people love you. I'm glad you're back in the saddle. People can keep
check
an eye
out Revolver, revolver.news. Like, I won't put it up at my sites until it's there. Like, hopefully I haven't gone too far. I mean, I hopefully have gone too far.
I mean, for what it's worth, some of the stuff they have up there, I don't think so. I think, you know, and they're one of the sites that puts stuff up and lets people decide. So, Michael, thank you. I'm glad you're back.
Thank you, guys. Great talking
good
to you.
Good to see you.
Yeah, good to see you. Thank you very
Hang
much.
Hang in there.
All right.
I'm trying.
That's going to wrap it up for us. Thank you again, as always, to Michael Tao, Peggy Probst, and all of you great, wonderful guys on Zoom. Catch all of our shows. You can get links to everything at chuckandjulie.com. Friday, we're going to have Daniel Greenfield on. He's a national columnist talking about some of this whole Ukraine stuff. Yeah. And I think one of the other things we're going to do on Friday is talk about the caucuses, which are next week as well.
Yeah, we got to, you know, it really is important. Caucuses determine how your party is. And you want to be SEC members and all that. And so you can actually get.
Be like Chuck.
Be like me, and more like me, because we got too many and people like Peggy, good grassroots people and not just establishment hacks.
So. That's right. So that's all on Friday. We'll see you then. Everybody stay warm if you're in Colorado and have a great couple of days. We'll see you Friday.
And get one of those wife beater t-shirts. That's a very attractive look. I like it.
That's right. He works out. Okay. Bye, everybody.
Bye.